إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. أرحب بكم جميعا. Welcome all of you. We continue reading as we started last week from the book of our noble Sheikh Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith عبد المحسن ابن عبد المحسن العباد البدر حفظه الله. And we're reading from 10 benefits or 10 points of benefits concerning the aqidah, the creed of the Muslim. فوائد وهذه في مقدمته لشرحه لمقدمة رسالة ابن أبي زيد القيرواني في العقيدة. And this is taken from his book, precisely the introduction on his book when he explained مقدمة ابن أبي زيد القيرواني المالكي رحمه الله in the creed and the aqidah. So these are 10 points of benefits. We started the first point and we didn't finish it, and we're going to continue. It's a long one. أن القاعدة أو الفائدة الأولى أن منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة هو اتباع الكتاب والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح. هذه الفائدة الأولى، أن منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة هو اتباع الكتاب والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح. That the methodology of أهل السنة والجماعة in the creed, that they follow the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the understanding of as-salaf as-salih. As-salaf as-salih hum as-sahaba bid-darajati al-ula wa at-tabi'un lahum bi ihsan wa atba' at-tabi'in wa a'immat al-huda wa ad-din wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan. As the salaf as-salih, they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنهم in the first place, and the تابعين and أتباع التابعين, and then the great imams and the أئمة of the deen and those who follow them upon that path. من يعيد هذه الفائدة؟ Who can repeat the first benefit in Arabic or English? تفضل أبو درداء.
أن منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة
أحسنت هو كذلك. أحسنت. من يعيد العربية؟ أنت عندك جائزة إن شاء الله. أن منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة اتباع الكتاب كتاب الله والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح. English, who can repeat the title? This is only the title. The title of the of this first point of benefit. Naam Luqman. Fin Luqman. Faddal. Naam. That the manhaj. Arabi or English? Arabi awwalan, yalla, ijtahid. Hawil bil Arabi awwalan. Faddal. ارفع صوتك من فضلك.
نعم.
ارفع صوتك.
القرآن والسنة.
لا، أنا قلت ارفع صوتك. Raise your voice a little bit.
منهج.
أهل
السنة والجماعة في العقيدة. اتباع القرآن والسنة. على فهم السلف الصالح.
أحسنت، وهو كذلك. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خيرا. أي نعم. English now. نعم موسى تفضل.
منهج Sunnah,
wal Jama'ah.
Is that you follow the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the Salaf Salih?
Ahsant. Excellent. وهو كذلك. بارك الله فيك. نعم. بلال. تفضل. أحسنت فهو كذلك نعم منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة اتباع الكتاب والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح that the methodology of أهل السنة والجماعة in the عقيدة in the creed that they depend and rely and follow the Quran the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم but with the understanding of the Salaf الصالح قال الشيخ وإنما كانت عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة مبنية على الكتاب والسنة لأن ما يعتقد هو من علم الغيب لأن ما يعتقد هو من علم الغيب ولا يمكن معرفة ذلك إلا بالوحي كتابا وسنة The last point we mentioned is that the Sheikh, our noble Sheikh Abdul Muhsin حفظه الله he says he gives us the reason why that the Muslim creed that the Muslim should only take his creed from the Qur'an and the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because the aqidah deals with matters of the unseen. Okay? The aqidah deals with the matter of ghayb, unseen. And there is no way to have any knowledge of the unseen without the revelation. That's the only way for us to know if Allah allow us to know from the unseen, but it is true, the Qur'an and the Sunnah. لذلك العقيدة لا تؤخذ من المنامات ولا من الخرافات ولا مما عليه الناس ولا من العادات والتقاليد إنما تؤخذ من مصادرها الموثوقة كتاب الله وصحيح سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبهذا القيد أيضا الفهم الصحيح فهم السلف الصالح So the creed, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, he mentioned once one of his books, that the creed, the Muslim creed, the Islamic creed, is not to be taken from dreams like the Sufis, nor from what the majority of the people are upon, yet that they may be upon before so. The aqidah is not to be taken from the traditions and the customs of the people, but rather the creed is to be taken from its proper sources, the Book of Allah, the sound Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال حفظه الله والمعول عليه في فهم النصوص أي نصوص القرآن والسنة ما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما جاء عنهم من الفهم الصائب والعلم النافع. He says now. After knowing and learning that the aqidah is taken from the Quran and the Sunnah. So now how you understand these texts? He says one way. You have to, for you to have the correct understanding of these texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, there is no other way except that you have to understand them according to the understanding of the messenger of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the ones that understood the text of the Qur'an and those of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم correctly. So beneficial knowledge comes to us through them. Beneficial knowledge and correct understanding of the text of the Qur'an and the Sunnah comes to us from the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم. وَقَدْ فَهِمُوا مَعَانِي مَا خُوطِبُوا بِهِ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ لأن الكتاب والسنة بلغتهم مع تفويضهم علم كيفيتها إلى الله عز وجل لأن ذلك من الغيب الذي لا يعلمه إلا هو سبحانه كما جاء عن الإمام مالك ابن أنس رحمه الله في بيان هذا المنهج الصحيح حيث قال عندما سئل عن كيفية الاستواء قال الاستواء معلوم والكيف مجهول والإيمان به واجب والسؤال عنه بدعة لأنه لم يسأل كما سنعرف بعد لم يسأل أحد من الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم هذا السؤال نعم Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah, he says, the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim, they understood the meanings of the text that they were addressed to them and to us. Especially those texts that talk about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, keep in mind that the Quran and the Sunnah, they revealed in their language. Because they were people who speaks who spoke Arabic. And they understood Arabic language. So they understood the meanings of those texts that talks about the attributes of Allah, but they don't get themselves involved with the true nature of those attributes. But rather, they live and they believe that the true nature and the real nature of these attributes is with Allah. The knowledge of it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, because these are for matters of the unseen that only Allah knows subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh gave an example that make this clear, and that highlight the position and the correct stand that Salaf al-Salih, our noble scholars, Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, as it relates to this point, when Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Malik ibn Anas, when he was asked, Imamu Tar al-Hijra, one of the four Imams, and one of the great scholars of Islam, Imam Malik ibn Anas, highlighting this point and its importance, that when he was asked about how Allah rose above his throne, so his answer was as such. He says, Al-Istiwa'u Ma'lum. Yeah, we know. It's mentioned in the Quran and mentioned in the Sunnah in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, mentioned in 7 times in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istawa above his throne. Qala wal kayfu majhul. As for how, this is not known. It's not known. Imanu bihi wajib. It's obligatory to believe in istiwa. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٍ. But you ask this question, how istiwa of Allah is an innovation. Is an innovation. ثم قال الشيخ قبل ذلك من قال هذا الاستواء معلوم والكيف مجهول والإيمان به واجب والسؤال عنه بدعة. Who says this statement that استواء is known, how is not known? It's obligatory to believe in al-istiwa, because this is sifa thabita lillah. And asking how is an innovation. Na'am, who says that? Imam Malik ibn Anas. Ay na'am, Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah. Thumma qala al-shaykh, waqad awdaha ma kana alayhi al-sahaba fi sifatillahi azza wa jal, al-shaykh Abu al-Abbas Ahmad ibn Ali al-Maqrizi al-mutawafi sanat 45 و800 للهجرة سنة 45 و800 للهجرة في كتابه المواعظ والاعتبار بذكر الخطط والآثار. فقال, and he mentioned that one of the scholars of the Salaf, he mentioned clearly the methodology that the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم they were upon as related to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His name is al-Shaykh Abu al-Abbas Ahmad ibn Ali al-Maqrizi. He died in the year 845 of the Hijrah. 845 of the Hijrah. In his book Al-Mawa'id wal-I'tibar bi dhikr al-Khutat wal-Athar, volume 2, page 356. He says, ذكر الحال في عقائد أهل الإسلام منذ ابتداء الملة الإسلامية إلى أن انتشر مذهب الأشعرية Now he's going to mention the methodology of the Muslims in the Aqidah. What is their creed? Where they take it from? What do they believe? He says, from the beginning of Al-Islam until the spreading of the madhab of Al-Ash'ariyyah, which is a deviant madhab, Al-Ash'ariyyah. Even though, remember, in previous classes, نسبة هذه الفرقة الضالة إلى أبي الحسن الأشعري نسبة خاطئة يقول الشيخ الفوزان، لأن أبي الحسن الأشعري رحمه الله قد تاب من هذه البدع وتاب منها ورجع إلى منهج أهل السنة والجماعة، لأنه تبرأ من هذا المذهب الفاسد، وقال في آخر أيامه أنه على مذهب الإمام أحمد بن حنبل مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة، وكتب كتابا الإبانة بين فيه أنه على منهج السلف الصالح في العقيدة، خاصة في صفات الله. Just to mention that this madhab of Ash'ariyya is a wicked madhab. They oppose in many ways the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But in a previous class, our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he mentioned when we learn about the deviant sects, and he mentioned that to affiliate Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari with this corrupt madhab, it is not right. Why? Because yes, in the beginning of his life he has something to do with it, but actually after that he repented towards the end of his life. Before he died, he repented and he left this falsehood and this deviant madhab, and he embraced the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he wrote a couple of books clarifying this and mentioning his aqidah, that he is on the aqidah of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the aqidah of Al-Sunnah, the aqidah of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. But many of his followers who they used to be upon falsehood, they choose to stay on that falsehood. But alhamdulillah, he did what he's supposed to do. He repented, alhamdulillah, and he freed himself. كما ذكروا عنه أنه قام على المنبر ثم خلع قميصه وقال إني أخلع نفسي من المذهب الأشعري كما أخلع قميصي هذا. And they mentioned that he stood on the minbar and he took off his قميص. And he says, I'm coming out of this madhab of Ash'ari the same way I came off this قميص. But many of his followers, they choose to be on that falsehood. Walayadullah. Naam. قال اعلم أن الله تعالى لما بعث من العرب نبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا إلى الناس جميعا وصف لهم ربهم سبحانه وتعالى وصف لهم ربهم سبحانه وتعالى بما وصف به نفسه الكريمة في كتابه العزيز الذي نزل به على قلبه صلى الله عليه وسلم الروح الأمين وبما أوحى إليه ربه تعالى فلم يسأله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد من العرب بأسرهم قرويهم وبدويهم عن معنى شيء من ذلك كما كانوا يسألونه صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أمر الصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج وغير ذلك مما لله فيه سبحانه وتعالى أمر ونهي وكما سألوه صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أحوال القيامة والجنة والنار إذ لو سأله إنسان منهم عن شيء من الصفات الإلهية لنقل كما نقلت الأحاديث الواردة عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم في أحكام الحلال والحرام وفي الترغيب والترهيب وأحوال القيامة والملاحم والفتن ونحو ذلك مما تضمنته كتب الحديث معاجمها ومسانيدها وجوامعها. We translate this portion and then we continue his statement. رحمه الله. He says you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his, amongst the Arabs, he sent his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger to all mankind, to all of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described for the people their Lord with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with in his book, Al-Quran, that he has revealed to him, and that Jibreel alayhi salam descend with it on the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from that which Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no one from the Arabs and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, the Bedouins and those who live in the cities, none of them asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the meaning of any of these attributes, how they are. And keep in mind, he says, but they used to ask him about the salat, how we pray, how we give zakat, you see, and how we fast, how we perform hajj. And other than these matters of the deen that Allah orders his servants to act upon or to stay away from. Likewise, keep in mind, he says, the Sahaba, all of them, yes, they didn't ask the Prophet ﷺ about how the attributes of Allah are, but they did ask about the salat, how is the hajj, zakat, fasting. They ask about Al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, how it's going to be, what's going to be taking place. They ask the Prophet ﷺ about the Jannah and about the hellfire. You see? He says, if really a person from amongst them ask the Prophet ﷺ concerning the attributes of Allah, that will be transmitted to us. That will be narrated to us. In the same way, that the Sahaba then narrated to us the rulings and regulations of halal and haram, that which is lawful and that which is unlawful. Also, there's so many narrations that relate to us, and through those narrations, we learn the things that help us to adhere to the path of Allah, and tells us about the reward of Allah, and the other narrations that also mention the punishment of Allah for those who disobey him and the like. Likewise, there was those narrations that describe what will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Likewise, those narrations that explain to us the trials and tribulations, na'am, and the signs of the hour and the like. All this is mentioned and recorded in the books of hadith, whether it be the Ma'ajim, Masanid, Jawami' and the like. Qala, وَمَنْ أَمْعَنَ النَّظَرَ فِي دَوَاوِينِ الْحَدِيثِ النَّبَوِيِّ وَوَقَفَ عَلَى الْآثَارِ السَّلَفِيَّةِ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَرِدْ قَطُّ مِنْ طَرِيقٍ صَحِيحٍ وَلَا سَقِيمٍ عَنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ طَبَقَاتِهِمْ وَكَثْرَةِ عَدَدِهِمْ أنه سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن معنى شيء مما وصف الرب سبحانه به نفسه الكريمة في القرآن الكريم وعلى لسان نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بل كلهم فهموا معنى ذلك وسكتوا عن الكلام في الصفات إلى آخر كلامه. قال, and for the one who reads with contemplation and with reflection in the books that compiled the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, such as Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the Sunan of An-Nasai, Abu Dawood, and Tirmidhi, the Masanid like Musnad, Al-Imam Ahmad, and the Mustadrak and the like. So he will find, and also in those books you will find also the statements of the Salaf, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, Utba' al-Tabi'een, and the great Imams. He will have knowledge that there is no way, there is no narration whatsoever, whether from a route that is sound or weak, that none from the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum, in their different levels, and they were so many in number, none of them asked the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the attributes of Allah that are affirmed, that he has affirmed for himself in his book Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, and upon the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But all of them, they understood the meaning, but they didn't ask about the kayfiyyah, how, and the nature of these attributes. قال الشيخ حفظه الله and then the statement of Al-Imam Al-Maqrizi was long. That was enough, alhamdulillah, to make the point clear. قال الشيخ عبد المحسن حفظه الله الشيخ الوالد وهذا الذي أوضحه المقريزي هو ما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل ظهور الفرق المختلفة. He says this aqidah and this methodology that was made clear by Al-Maqrizi, this is what the companions Ridwanullah alayhim they were upon. This is what the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam they were upon before the advent of the other deviant sects. وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث العرباد بن سارية الذي مر ذكره قريبا فإنه من يعيش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين الراشدين تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. And then he mentioned once again the hadith, or portion of the hadith that is narrated to us by Al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh, he mentioned that hadith previously, and from it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companions, he who will live longer amongst you after me shall see a lot of controversy. Meaning some of the companions who will live longer after the Prophet ﷺ, they will see people being upon something else. People introducing to Islam, to the creed of the Islam, that which is not from it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told them, so if you see that, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifa. Hold on to it and bite on it with your molar teeth and be aware of the newly invented matters, for indeed every newly invented matter to this deen is an innovation and every innovation lead you astray. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وليس من المعقول أن يقال في شيء من مذاهب هذه الفرق المختلفة في العقيدة التي حدثت في أواخر عهد الصحابة وبعده كالقدرية والمرجئة والأشاعرة وغيرها ليس من المعقول أن يقال في شيء من ذلك إنه الحق والصواب كما يدعي أصحابه. ليس من المعقول أن يقال في شيء من ذلك إنه الحق والصواب، بل الحق الذي لا شك فيه هو ما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم. The Sheikh, he says, and it's against intellect, those who have sound intellect, even to say about any of these ideologies, innovated ideologies that was brought to the Muslims by those deviant sects, especially in the creed, that some of them took place towards the end of the era of the companions. Man. Some of the companions, they were still alive. And instead of learning from the companions, and don't say nothing unless these companions speak, la ilaha illallah, these people, they introduce their own creeds and bring principles from themselves. So he said, it is not to, for no one who has sound intellect and sound mind to think and believe that what this deviant ideologies from these deviant sects brought to the Muslims in the creed towards the end of the era of the companions and after them, such as the Qadariya, the Murji'a, the Asha'ira, and other than them, like the Khawarij and also the Mu'tazila. You cannot say that this is the Haqq and what they are upon is the truth and that they are right. Rather, the truth, with no doubt whatsoever, is that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were upon. That's the truth. So now you know how many in Muslim countries they teach the Madhab al-Ash'ari. They teach the Qadari, they teach them. This is your aqidah. Wal-iyadu billah. They say yes. And subhanAllah, in some Muslims they say, look, in the fiqh, they are Malikis. In aqidah, they are what? Ash'aris. Why don't you follow Imam Malik in aqidah? If you follow him in fiqh, هكذا يقولون. They say like that in some Muslim countries. They say that in fiqh, salat, hajj, this, they follow what? They follow Imam Malik. Many countries in Africa. But when it comes to the aqidah, what they say? They follow Ash'ari aqidah, which is a deviant aqidah. Why they didn't follow Imam Malik in aqidah? Aqidah more important than fiqh. Because if someone learn how to pray correctly, and how to make wudu correctly, how to pay zakat according to the sunnah, because Imam Malik was imam of a sunnah, and how to fast correctly, and how to make hajj, but they were on a corrupt aqidah, like the aqidah of Ash'ariya, then Allahu musta'an, that's a big problem. So they claim that they take the fiqh from Imam Malik, but the aqidah from deviant sects. نسأل الله السلام والعافية. نسأل الله السلام والعافية. اللهم اهد عبادك يا رب العالمين. سأسأل الله to guide them. آمين. قال ولو كان شيء من هذه المذاهب حقا لسبقوا إليه رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. فلا يعقل أن يحجب حق عن الصحابة ويدخر لأناس يجيئون بعدهم. قال إبراهيم النخعي رحمه الله كما في جامع بيان العلم وفضله لابن عبد البر لم يدخر لكم شيء خبئ من القوم أي يعني الصحابة لفضل عندكم. So the Sheikh عبد المحسن once again حفظه الله, he says, if any of what these sects who came, some of them appears towards the end of the era of the companions, some in the time of At-Tabi'in, some in the time of Atba' At-Tabi'in, if any of those ideologies was the truth, indeed, the Sahaba, radhiyallahu alayhim, they will adhere to it before them. The Sahaba, they will be upon it before them. Because he said it's impossible for certain people, for a truth to be kept hidden from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallam, and then people that come after them will know about it. Will know about it. Ibrahim al-Nakhi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the Salaf, he says, as Ibn Abd al-Barr mentioned this in his very, very important book, Jami' Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlih, volume 1, page 97, he says, he was addressing the people in his time, it's from At-Tabi'in. He says, nothing was kept only for you that was hidden from the people, meaning the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, because he have a virtue over them, wa'yadu billah. And we know that the Sahaba, they are the best of his ummah. Kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrun nasi qarni, thumma ladina yulunahum, thumma ladina yalunahum. That the best of the people is the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one is better than the companions. And so therefore, no one can claim that they have a haqq, something that is correct and sawab and the truth, why the companion didn't even know about it. Let me give you an example, like the Sufis and the ignorant Muslims who they follow them in the celebration of Al-Mawlid al-Nabawi. They claim that this is a good thing, this is good, excellent act. Now you ask them one simple question. There is so many questions you can ask them, but just one. Just tell them, the Sahaba, they knew about it? Did the Sahaba celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ? If they say yes, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say, bring you proof. But they had to say no. Because if they say yes, that shows their ignorance. No one from the Sahaba celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ. If they say, look, man, this is the... So if the Sahaba didn't do it, we don't do it. There is no good in it. If they say, no, look, well, the Sahaba, Allah gave them a lot of good things, but Allah gave us some good too. You tell them, okay, well, the Sahaba, all the good Allah gave them. Through who? Huh? Through the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, and you, where you get it from? They tell you the Prophet ﷺ. For where? In their dreams. Yeah, taqullah. This is absurd. They still go, instead to say, yeah, this is right, subhanAllah. The Sahaba, they were upon good and the haq because they took it from Prophet ﷺ. Wait a minute, where do we get this from? And then if they use just their intellect, لكن حتى عقولهم كاسدة والعياذ بالله. Even their intellect, Allah المستعان. If they use just their intellect, they were like, yeah, that makes sense. The Sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim, they received the haq from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, if this, they claim it is the haq, but no one from the Sahaba know about it. So, ask them the question, where you get it, guys? Where do you get it? If they say from the Prophet, we say, yeah, akhi, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And before he died, Allah says, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. This deen is complete and perfect. So how are you going to bring something to the deen? That's another problem. If you say, no, the Sahaba didn't know about this, but it was kept for us, meaning that the Prophet ﷺ hides something, keep something hidden, only for you. لا حول ولا قوة إلا. See, مزالق في مزالق في مزالق والعياذ بالله. فالحمد لله الذي هدانا لمنهج أهل السنة والجماعة. We thank Allah and we praise Him for guiding us to the منهج of the Salaf, منهج أهل السنة والجماعة. There is no contradiction in it, no ambiguity, it's so clear. Why? Anything that you believe in, قال الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال على فهم السلف الصالح الصحابة. If you adhere to the منهج of أهل السنة والجماعة, then everything is clear for you. No contradictions. Anything you believe, you have a proof. Allah says, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says, and this is how the Sahaba understood it. This is what they ask about. This is what they left alone. But those who are upon this creed of this ideology of this deviant group or this deviant group or this, yeah, a lot of contradictions. A lot of contradictions. And they cannot explain anything or prove anything. And they resort to what the Christians do. You just have to believe. Explain the Trinity or how three is one. The Christian, what they say? Listen, man, this is something that, you know, you just have to believe in it. Three is one. Who can explain that three is one? Nobody. They're like, no, look. You just have to believe. But alhamdulillah, in our aqidah, we believe with dalil. Even though the Christians, they said, one of them said that somebody, a woman or something, they come up with a good explanation to three is one. And this is their aqidah. By the way, this is their creed. And this is talks about the God they worship. How they explain their aqidah? It says, this woman says that the Trinity is like an egg. Alright? Three is one. Three is one. Because then they says, what they says? The God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They all one. He said, yeah, one lady, she says, yes, that resembles the egg. The egg has how many parts? That we know. Three. What are they? The shell, the white, and the yolk. You see? Says three, but actually you have one egg. Where wrong? Huh? That's it. It's three in there, but it's only one egg. Oh, this is the aqidah. But we tell them, okay, show me this egg. I bust it, and now the yolk and the white is gone. It's gone. Now I have only what? The shell. What is three? No more. No three anymore. You see? Worse than that. I was traveling once. Look how these people, this is their aqidah. They play games. I was traveling maybe over 10 years ago. It's easy. I was going to South Carolina for a seminar. And I'm in a plane now. And it was 2002. Remember, right after the event. And I'm a Muslim. Everybody look at me like this. You know, I'm reading the Quran in a plane. The guy next to me was a Caucasian guy, older a little bit. And he's looking at me and he's this and that. Finally, he says, "That's the Quran, right?" I said, "Yeah, right. How did you know?" So I read it. I said, "Okay." And then he said to me that he is a Christian. And he is a priest. He teaches Christianity. He's a priest. And then he said to me, "You know what? We believe in..." He said that they believe in the same thing in that Quran. I said, "Do you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "So you don't believe in the Trinity?" He says, "No, we do." I'm like, "So how? The Trinity is not in here, man. There's no Trinity in the Quran. We believe in one God." He says, "We too." I said, "What do you mean, you too? Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost." He says, "Yes, to the people, that's what appears. But the origin, when you break it down, and a lot of people don't understand." I said, "But in our religion, everything is clear. Nothing, it's not like something that nobody will never know. No, if you make an effort, it's clear, it's right there. And the people of knowledge, they make these matters clear." I said, "Actually, the most clear subject in Islam is aqidah, the creed. That's the most clear one. Yes, you may have some difficulties in zakat, because you have to memorize a lot of terminologies and this and that. In divorce, in mu'amalat, dealing, transactions, borrowing, this." I said, "But when it comes to this, the most important matter, the creed is this, the easiest to understand." He still said, "No, look, man, we believe in the same thing." I said, "Can you prove it?" And of course, we're in a plane. I'm now going to like get it, like, because I know all the ads are against me then. You know what I'm saying? If I want to make this man like start talking, so I'm just like, mashallah. If we really was by Dunkin' Donuts or something. You know, but this is a plane now after the events. I'm talking about 2002, you know. And then he said to me this. He says, "Look, I can prove you that three is one." I said, "Okay, go ahead." I'm sorry for the brothers who are listening. He took his sleeves like this. All right? And he said, and he covered his hand, and he lit only three fingers to see three fingers. You see? He said, "How many are these?" I said, "Look, don't ask me questions. Just continue." He said, "See, three fingers, right?" He said, "But if you go, you become only one." His forearm. I'm like, "Look, man, I gotta go use the bathroom." All right. You know, this is how they explain their aqidah, their creed. That's how they explain the creed. Three is one. I said to him, "What about the other two fingers?" He's like, "Listen, man, there are certain things you have to believe. See, here we go back to what you have to believe." He said, "You cannot prove it, see? You cannot prove that this is the which Isa has left for you. Did Isa leave you this?" They couldn't tell you yes. There is no such thing in their books that explain that. Ala ayyin. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise Him for guiding us to this madhab, madhab of al-salaf. And we ask Allah to keep us upon it and to save us from falsehood. Naam. Qala. Thumma qala. وقد نقل الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله في كتابه فتح الباري نقولا عن جماعة من السلف في إثبات الصفات من غير تشبيه أو تحريف أو تعطيل وختم ذلك بكلام النفيس له ومما قاله. وأخرج البيهقي من طريق أبي داود الطيالسي قال كان سفيان الثوري وشعبة وحماد بن زيد وحماد بن سلمة وشريك وأبو عوانة لا يحددون ولا يشبهون ويروون هذه الأحاديث ولا يقولون كيف. قال أبو داود وهو قولنا. قال البيهقي وعلى هذا مضى أكابرنا. لأن الشيخ حفظه الله says that الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله in his very important book فتح الباري which is the explanation of صحيح البخاري فتح الباري he mentioned many statements of the Salaf of a group of the Salaf in affirming the attributes of Allah affirming the attributes that Allah has affirmed for himself in his book or in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam without resembling or likening those attributes to those of the creation without distorting their meanings and without denying them and without denying them and he conclude these statements with he said a very very beneficial statement he says that Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah collected from the way of Abi Dawood al-Tayalisi who said that Sufyan al-Thawri now he mentioned one of the great imams of the Salaf great imams of hadith and sunnah and they were upon the aqidah and the creed of al-Salaf says that Sufyan al-Thawri Shu'ba Hamad ibn Zayd Hamad ibn Salama Shuraik Abu Awana when it comes to the attributes of Allah, they do not say how, and they do not liken nor resemble the attributes of Allah to those of His creation. Rather, when they narrate this ahadith, they never say how. They don't explain to the people what the hand is this, the face means this, like the Mu'tazila do, and Ahlul Bid'ah wa Dalal, they mention the face and they say, look, the face is not the face, it means this. The hand means strength and power. Now the Salaf, they didn't do that. They says, yes, Allah has hand. But they don't say, well, the hand means this or means that. No, they says, Allah has hand. Allah has face. Okay? And he says that Abu Dawood, As-Sijistani, rahmatullahi, says, and this is what, he says, this is our statement as well. This is our aqidah. And this is what we are upon. And Al-Bayhaqi, he says, وَعَلَى هَذَا مَضَى أَكَابِرُنَا And upon this aqidah and this creed, he says, our senior scholars, they were upon. Now, so it's very important for us, Ikhwan, to learn, to have knowledge, to seek knowledge. A Muslim shouldn't stay ignorant. Ignorance is a fatal disease. It leads to al-mahalik, to ruin and destruction, al-iyadu billah. Knowledge is strength, is a power, is a light. You be upon the path of Allah. You're supposed to be on the path of Allah, but upon knowledge, you need to see what Allah command you with, and you act upon it, what Allah forbid you to stay away from. With the dalil, bil adillah, you should learn about Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, have knowledge of Allah, have knowledge of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have knowledge of Islam. But with the proofs, as al-Imam al-Mujaddid Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala, he says in his book, Al-Thalathatu Usul, قال بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل الأولى العلم وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة أي نعم بالأدلة تعرف هذه الأمور تعلم هذا الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه تعالى in his book The Three Fundamental Principles this very important book in the very beginning of that book he said بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم you should know may Allah have mercy on you Well, may the mercy of Allah be upon you. That is obligatory upon us to have knowledge of four matters. It's obligatory to have knowledge of four matters. The first one, to acquire knowledge. Now, you have to seek knowledge. You gotta learn. Knowledge of what? It says knowledge of Allah. You gotta learn about your Lord who created you and fashioned you in the best form. And knowledge of His Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And knowledge of the deen of Islam. And all of this with adilla, with sound proofs. You don't just have knowledge of about Allah from anybody who talk about Allah. No one has the right to talk about Allah without knowledge. You gotta have knowledge, seek knowledge. You don't say anything about Allah without knowledge. You don't just, oh, what somebody says, I heard the imam in the masjid. No. You gotta have knowledge, learn. Likewise, you want to speak about the Prophet ﷺ with knowledge. You want to say this is from Islam, this is not from Islam, this is halal, this is haram, this is wajib, this is obligatory, this is not, this is that. Knowledge. Bil adilla, with the proofs. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge.
Amen.
And that is coupled with righteous actions.
Amen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas and sincerity in everything we say and everything we do. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.